Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Crazy cheap prices on the free Spud Shed app.
Welcome to the program. Great to have your company. Carl Langdon and Paul Hazelby with you tonight. What we do know is that Toby Green has been suspended for 3 weeks. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the program. 133-882. We also found out today that the AFL Grand Final is coming to Perth. That was part of the news headlines for Polaris, Australia's number one off-road vehicle brand. If you didn't hear the Premier of Western Australia have a chat to Ollie Peterson here on 882 6PR, this is what he had to say. We've got online Travis Old, who is listening to what the Premier had to say. He's the AFL Executive General Manager of Finance, Clubs and Broadcast. Looking forward to welcoming him into the program. But first, let's hear what the Premier said to Ollie today.
It's very exciting and very historic, but it's also a time to remember that Victoria is going through a difficult period. So we need to acknowledge that it's been tough for them, but it will probably be the only time in our lifetimes that we see the grand final here in Perth. So I think we need to celebrate it in a COVID-safe way, which is exactly what we're doing.
Do we have a time for bounce down?
No, I don't know that yet. The AFL will sort all that out. I expect it will be determined by the sort of TV rights and the like over East. But in any event, it'll be exciting. It'll be terrific for tourism. It'll bring people in from COVID-free jurisdictions like South Australia and Tasmania and Northern Territory who can travel here now. Bring people from the regions to the city. It'll fill up our hotels. And all the protocols we're putting in place are consistent with what we've done throughout the entire football season, both this year and last year, to keep ourselves COVID safe.
What have taxpayers had to pay to land the grand final?
Well, I'm told in Queensland last year, and now I don't know how true it is, but the rumour is that they spent $20 million to secure the game. We haven't paid the AFL anything. What we have done is what we do for ordinary footy games, which is some assistance with public transport. So we do that for Eagles and Dockers games currently. We'll put in place some road closures and security around the grand final parade. There'll be some tourism marketing, which obviously we do for major events to promote the state, particularly to those jurisdictions that are COVID-free, so we can bring tourists from those jurisdictions or from the regions to Perth. And we'll support some of the halftime entertainment if it's West Australian, which it will be. So that's something that we'll assist with. So the overall cost is actually very, very small when you think about the overall benefit, which is massive, of holding the grand final in Perth.
Do you have a favourite? Do you want somebody in particular to perform the halftime entertainment?
Well, I said before, Todd Johnson and V Capri or Slim Jim and the Fats. They're out there. They were the bands of my youth. Look, I think there's some great West Australian entertainers. I'm sure they'll all be very excited to do it. We'll no doubt work with the AFL to sort it out.
You said we've got the parade, we've got the Brownlow. Any idea how that parade will look? Will you be able to have thousands of people lining St George's Terrace to cheer on the two grand final teams?
I would have thought so. So we currently are a very free, open community. As you know, there's no restrictions inside Western Australia currently. So I would have thought that would be the case.
Any consideration to move the public holiday from the Monday to the Friday?
No, a bit hard to do that, a bit late to do that. And it would cause a lot of disruption with lots of things. What I expect will happen is that a lot of employers and employees will negotiate their way through this, and there'll be a lot of entertainment and excitement and hospitality and all those things occurring on the Friday. And a lot of workplaces will work these things out. I said before,
10 seconds.
Bob Hawke said, which is any boss who makes their worker go to work today is a bum. But I'm just suggesting that people will work out their own way. People will work out their own ways through this.
So there you go. That was the Premier a little bit earlier this afternoon here on 6PR with Oliver Peterson. Joining us from quarantine is a man that has arrived ahead of the footy that is coming our way this weekend. Travis Old joins us from quarantine. Good evening to you, Trav. Thanks for joining us.
Evening. Thanks for having me.
How's it going, mate? Are you okay? You're coping in there?
I'm doing just fine, thank you. I'm well looked after. I've underway. It's an exciting day. It's obviously tough for Victorians who've done it tough for a little while now, but to have some direction and know that we're going to have a grand final here in Perth is pretty exciting. We've got a lot to look forward to.
It is, and we're thinking of them, Trav. But what do you make of that
interview that you just heard and the relationship between yourself, the AFL and Mark McGowan over the last 18 months. It seems like the swords have been put down this year and you've been working really well together to get this up and about.
Yeah, I think behind the scenes we've had a strong working relationship from day one. I mean, this year we've had a number of teams come in, going to quarantine, been able to play games while in quarantine, had the benefit of playing on most occasions in front of crowds. So we're really grateful for the support of the Premier and his government. And for all those reasons, we think we can make a real spectacle of a grand final in Perth.
Did you try to squeeze some cash out of him at all?
No. I did listen to his interview. I think he summarised it well. It's I think the greatest thing that the Perth offers is a stadium with 60,000 people in it. And for a whole lot of reasons, that'd be a great outcome.
Yeah. Now, the bounce down time. This would be something, given that you are the fixture man, that you'd be talking to all of those that would want to have it at a certain time. What do you reckon? What are you looking at? Can you just put us in the picture? We'll probably like to debate that a little bit tonight on the program if we can.
Yeah, I mean, they are the sort of things we need to turn our mind to pretty soon. I don't have a time for you, sorry, but I do have sort of principles that we want to work through. One is clearly we want to provide the best experience that we can, and we've got an opportunity to do that. It's an incredible stadium, and so we think an opportunity to do that. So that might influence the time, but also we need to be mindful of making the game as accessible as we can, particularly on the eastern seaboard, and so that'll also have a role to play. So everyone will have a view on what that should be. I'm interested in your view.
Well, our stadium shines at night. I have, I think, made that very clear. And a preference for me, mate, would be a twilight, which means that it would be broadcast back into the East Coast not too late. I know there's a lot of families over there that will be in quarantine. They can watch it as families. They can enjoy it together. And I think that that is really important as a celebration of our grand final. And it's probably why we haven't really wanted to push it back too late over this side of the country in the past. But for me, that's what I would like, Hayes.
Yeah, I'd like a 6 o'clock start. I think at night at this stadium does suit. And I think for you, Travis, it gives you an understanding of the twilight time back into Melbourne. So you get some data for future years, because every year you wrangle with that decision, whether it's 2 o'clock or 4 o'clock. I would like 6 o'clock in the West. What would you think about that, Travis?
At 11:30, 12 o'clock at night by the time the game finishes, if it starts at 6 o'clock here. Anyway, Trav, over to you.
I think you're making a lot of sense. I've written all that down, so that'll certainly come into the thinking.
What about the Brownlow Medal? How many teams are we thinking will be here, and what does the function look like for you in terms of numbers?
I can't answer the specifics on that. I know that we announced today that we'll have the Brownlow Medal here, which is unbelievable. It's a great event. We've gone a year without having an audience at the Brownlow, and so one, to have people at that event is great. To have people who wouldn't ordinarily get the chance to go to the Brownlow is a huge bonus out of a difficult situation. So we'll work on venue capacity, what teams can be here. Are the teams that are competing in the grand final going to be out of quarantine and therefore can they attend? I'm sure the local teams can. So there's a lot to work through, but it's all opportunity, it's all upside.
What can you tell us about ticket allocation for the clubs involved in the grand final and the prices? What are we looking at here in Perth?
Yeah, so we haven't, I mean, I know there's a lot of work to do, and I keep saying that. It's legitimately just, been decided officially that's what's happening. So we've got to make some of these key decisions pretty quickly. We will prioritise member access. Clearly, it's not going to be a WA team, and so therefore the number of members in this market, or as the Premier said, the number of people depending on where they're coming from, will influence the sort of numbers that we need to cater for in terms of those priorities. Because we also want to make sure that West Australians get the opportunity to go to a grand final as well. And so it's got to balance all those things up, and it'll depend to some degree on which teams make it through.
Up to this point, Trav, and correct me if I'm wrong, is it 15,000 that have been allocated to each of the participating clubs to the MCG historically or recently?
Yeah, I think it's up to about 17 or 17 and a half. So it's sort of 35,000 between the two competing teams. Now, that's on 100,000.
Yeah.
And that's without considering, in our current environment with borders and border restrictions and so forth. So we get the opportunity to think about things a little differently. But certainly the principle of making sure that members who have stuck with the competition, stuck with their team through very difficult times, get prioritised.
And at the moment is the intention, and let's hope things stay on track, is to have the bye before the grand final. So that's the intention at the moment, to have a break there and then have the grand final parade the week of and then participate in the grand final on the 25th of September. Is that the plan?
That's right. The 25th of September is a lock. If things keep rolling as they are, touch wood, then we'll have a break between the prelim and the grand final. It's beneficial in a number of ways. It allows us to build up some momentum going to the grand final. It may be valuable in terms of depending where teams come from and getting them through quarantine, which we've committed to. And so I can see the benefit. I can see the number of things you talk about, like a parade or a number of events. It could be a really exciting time to be in Perth.
Trav, well done to you. I just want to commend you on the season as well. And you probably look back and go, wow, how did we get through 22 rounds? And then you had the first week of the final series. And I thought that was well done to have two games in Tassie. You're going to end up with three in South Australia, one in Queensland and three in Perth. But I'm sure at times throughout the season, you just wondered, how are we going to get through this?
Yeah, thank you. I mean, as a team, we've been working pretty hard and we've got the benefit of an industry who's prepared to do what it takes to keep it moving forward. And so it's taken a lot of work from a lot of people. There's certainly some moments through the year where we thought we might have been snookered, but we got through and we're still not through yet. We've got a few weeks to go. But to your point of the weekend just gone, I think it just validates the importance of crowds and the impact that has, right from the players who love playing in front of people through to the broadcast and how it's a different experience. And so I think from here on in, if everything goes well, we'll have crowds and good crowds at our finals, and ultimately a big crowd, packed house for the grand final.
Do you feel like next year could be another challenge given our Premier's comments recently in regards to the vaccination rates and the border control we may still have?
I'm trying not to think about it too much. I've got a span of about 4 weeks in just a minute, so I'm very focused on it. Sort of day to day. It might be a cliche in times gone by, but it's real at the moment. We're just trying to get through each day, each week. I think we all have a view that, certainly I have a view anyway, that vaccinations are the way through this. And so we've got to work out where we fit as a code within that and make sure that we jump in the queue in the right place in the queue. But we want to be part of the solution. And so I think that's a conversation, a consideration post-season.
How much does it cost, mate? I mean, how much has gone down the gurgler with all of this of what you've had to do?
Yeah, it's been expensive, but we certainly, like, there's times this year where we've probably spent, $5-6 million a week to keep the competition going by having a number of teams on the road and charter flights and whatever else. But it's more expensive to stop. And ultimately, our purpose, is to be there for the communities that support us. And so there was additional responsibility. I think we all felt with people in lockdown that we provide that sense of escape and a sense of hope and entertainment for people. And I think that's never been more important.
Friday night, what's the expectation from the AFL with the crowd? Let's hope the WA supporters come out big and they get 50,000 plus for all the games would be outstanding. But do you think we can get that high?
Sales have started really well, and so we're sort of up around about the 30,000 at the moment. Still got a few days to go. We've only just gone on sale, so there's plenty of tickets there. I encourage people to get one. It's very affordable, and should be a great game of football. Where it ends, I don't know. We don't have a lot of data on a neutral final at Optus Stadium, but certainly it's been strong early. So I think it could be quite a good crowd.
I'm just opening up the map, mate, and having a look at what's available. There's not a lot left. And when I look at a few of the blocks, there's only a few seats available in some cases. So I think it's going to get really good support. Looking forward to encouraging as many more fans as we can tonight. Enjoy quarantine as much as you can. Did they give you anything special? You get a bike or you get anything like that to do some exercise on while you're stuck in the hotel?
Yeah, I've got a treadmill and I've jumped on that a couple of times. It's been a while since I've been for a run, so I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. It's going to knock me around a bit, but I'll have to try and keep pushing on until I can get out and enjoy some of that Perth sunshine.
Yeah, well, hopefully there'll be some sunshine by the time you get out, because it's not looking good the next couple of days. So it'd be okay to stay inside. Thanks very much, Trav, for the chat. Take care.
Thanks. Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Travis Old, who is in quarantine currently, AFL Executive General Manager of Finance Clubs and Broadcast. You can join us after this. It is 22 minutes past 6. 133-882 is our number. We'll also update some more news headlines where you can get range of confidence for the price of a quad. Visit your local Polaris dealer today.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Now, we'll be calling the game live here on 882 6PR, and it's only $35 a ticket too, by the way. So if you want to go and see two very well-credentialed teams in Geelong and GWS go at it this weekend, then please head to Ticketmaster right now. Buy yourself a ticket. There's also some corporate hospitality that is available. That starts at around $360, includes all your food and your drinks package for the course of the match. So if you want to go and enjoy the game in a corporate style, then that is the price starting point. It goes up from there. But as I said, there's $35 seats available. I'm looking at them right now on Ticketmaster. Let's go to the calls. We did speak just briefly about Toby Green. You might have your opinion on that. Rob in Wanneroo joins us first. G'day, Rob.
Boys, Toby Green, is that correct what I heard earlier in the week? 43 sightings or appearances about with the tribunal?
$28,000 in fines, definitely. 22. I think 12 weeks.
He's had 22, six suspensions, and as Hayes said, the monetary amount that he's been fined. Rob?
Okay. Well, forget about the monetary, whatever he gets, you know, that's his business, what he does with his money. But look, I look back at the 90s, mate. In the 90s, we had Wayne Carey. Wayne Carey is probably one of the best footballers in my lifetime I've watched, and also Andrew McLeod that played for Adelaide. And obviously, I love watching Guy McKenna in the back line. Can you imagine one of those blokes going up to the umpire and doing what he did? Like, I mean, Toby Green, everyone says, oh, he's got skill, he's a great footballer, but he's not a professional. Professionals don't do that. They just don't. They don't think it. So who's doing all the talking to the players at the club, the psychological things, what you do on the field, what you can say, on all the rest of it? How much do the Giants have to put up with this until they say enough's enough? You know, like, what are they, you know, like...
Yeah, I think he's a lucky boy. I think he's a very lucky boy, Rob, and what you're saying. I mean, he was foolish. He definitely bumped into the umpire. He didn't have to do that. He did. He chose to. He was guilty today of intentional conduct, satisfied that it was aggressive, demonstrative and disrespectful. And I think he was very, very lucky to only get 3 weeks, to be perfectly honest. When I reflect back and I had a look at it numerous times today and what Greg Williams did to umpire Coates. Umpire Coates actually initiated contact with Greg Williams. Greg Williams then pushed the umpire away in that case. He got 9 weeks. Todd Curley, who I think just accidentally ran into the umpire, he got 4. So I think he can be very thankful that he's not on the sidelines for at least the minimum of what was proposed by the QC for the AFL and Gleeson today. They recommended a 6-week minimum penalty and he only got 3. So I think that he should be counting his lucky stars tonight.
Do you think 3 years, 6, though, like you're going to miss this final, the next final, the grand final?
Don't care less. I mean, it's double whammy for a grand final, isn't it? It should be double whammy for any final. If you, it's just the act, and it's the message that it sends from the top level down to all of the others that are engaged in the game in our community. I think it's really important to be strong here.
I'm not convinced it's over yet either. I think listening to Gil McLachlan today, he was very strong. He wasn't happy with the 3-match sanction handed down. So there is potential for them to discuss that tonight and a possible appeal from the AFL to send exactly that, the right message. And we spoke about Toby Green a lot last night. Smartest player, dumbest player. And if I'm part of that leadership group, you are frustrated. And it is surprising that with all the record that he's got, he's still the captain of that football club. He's still nominated as second in charge. I wonder if that will change going forward, because that would tell me that the players are actually sick of his antics. It's not just about what you do with the footy. Yeah. It's about the culture you build, and he hasn't done a good job in that.
No, and it's a bit like Taylor Walker, isn't it? Allied right now, former captain of their club. An Oregon former is probably going to be what Toby Green will be fast becoming at GWS. Phyllis joins us from Belmont. G'day.
Oh, hello. I don't want to talk about football, although I love it, but what I want to know is, do the Paralympics get any money for performing?
Good question. Not
no,
sure.
No, I understand they don't. So obviously,
what about the what about the other Olympians? Do they get medals, money for medals?
Yep, they do. I think it's 20,000, 15,000, maybe 10,000, depending on gold, silver, and bronze.
Well, apart from that, I was watching the news tonight, and my heart goes out to those boys and girls. They love Australia so much, and they try so hard, and it's so much difficulty, and they're so proud, and then you turn over to that buddy Nick Kyrgios doing what he did today, and he gets paid millions.
Yeah, well, he joined a few others, didn't he? John Millman, James Duckworth, Astra Sharma as losers to kick off the US Open. Let's hope that Ash Barty does better tonight. And just after 7, Craig Gabriel will be just freshly getting up in the morning after a late night last night to bring us all the latest updated news, Hayes.
America do pay their athletes if they win medals.
In Paralympic Games?
Yep, in Paralympics. So they're one country that's gone towards that. So I think, you know, there might be a movement that is started here, and going forward at the next Olympic Games we may see.
Well, if the able-bodied athletes are getting something, then why shouldn't the Paralympic athletes get something? They should. And look, we've had a truckload of medals today. Darren Hicks, Emily Petrikola has won silver. Hicks won a gold. We had gold for James Turner in record time in the T36 400 metres. So, it's been fantastic to see our achievements from our athletes there. More of your calls, 133882 to Jerry. G'day, Jerry.
G'day, Carl. G'day, Hayes. Two quick comments. First of all, I'm just about over Toby Green, but I'll just say this. I agree with you both. I think he should have been up to at least 6 to 10 weeks suspension plus $100,000 out of pocket that he have to pay himself. Make it really hit him hard in the pocket as well. Anyway, enough said of that. But my second comment is just a bit of tongue-in-cheek, bit of fun, fellas, but especially after the Ed Langdon comments when he was asked about Ross Lyon and comparing him to Goodwin and that, his present coach. Listen, you two blokes better be very careful when you make any comments about Ross Lyon. Make sure you follow it up by sending him a text and say, it's all good between us, mate, all good.
Look, he did say that tongue-in-cheek a little bit, but with every comment like that, there is a bit of truth to it. And, look, they have different approaches, those coaches, and there's no right or wrong one. Like, you talk about the relationship type of coach, the Justin Longmuirs, those guys that don't normally raise their voice too often, and then you've got the old school. I think they work, but it depends on the individual that you're dealing with. Some won't take it, some like the other way.
So just with this, there's a bit of an uproar, of course, coming out of the East Coast around Matthew Pavlich, in that Matthew Pavlich was one that has conducted the review of the Carlton Football Club, was part of making the recommendations back to the board of the Carlton Football Club, which all surrounded the outgoing coach in David Teague. Now he's coming out and speaking in glowing terms, which he is allowed to, as a broadcaster and as a commentator, but it hasn't been taken well. And there's been this conflict of interest that has been brought up by those that are challenging the Carlton board as we speak. So at the moment, Matthew Pavlich's copping some criticism that doesn't necessarily or shouldn't necessarily be afforded to him, but that is what is happening right now.
I would say 100% Matthew Pavlich wouldn't have been involved in any discussion about Ross Lyon through that. I don't think the review was about that. It was about what was in front of them. And knowing Pav, he would have done that to the utmost of his ability. He may have been asked at some stage throughout the process about Ross Lyon, and clearly, their chairman has been sourcing different information from different people, having conversations, and that may have come up. But it wouldn't have done any damage to what Matthew Pavlich delivered in that review. I can guarantee you of that.
If you want to have a dig at something or someone, dial before you dig the first essential step, the AFL Grand Final. What do you think? What would be your preferred start time? I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. I would like it starting a lot earlier than 6 o'clock, only because when it goes back into the East Coast, that it would then enable families to enjoy the day a little bit more rather than it finishing too late at night, which is currently what it seems to be over there in Victoria anyway.
That's when they have their games at
7:50. I know, but it's a grand final. Mm. And I don't think a lot of the kids stay up, but maybe they do. Maybe they will. And I just think that a little bit more friendly time by bringing it forward before Fat Cat goes to bed might enable a few more kids to watch. 25 to 7. Join in after this.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
All right, let's go to Rod in Balladura, who joins us first. G'day, Rod. Hello, Rod.
First and foremost, sorry?
Yeah, sorry, hello, mate. We couldn't hear you. Go on, start again, buddy.
I want to congratulate Mark McGowan on his wonderful job and also for getting the AFL Grand Final on his in WA's best interest terms. It wasn't like we paid a fortune to get the AFL Grand Final. We're one of the safest states in Australia. And good on him in regards to getting the AFL Grand Final and getting it on our terms. If it wasn't for that, I don't think we would have had a Grand Final. But because we do have a Grand Final under his terms, I think it's going to be a safe COVID-19-free Grand Final. We've hosted AFL matches right throughout the season with no dramas at all when it comes down to COVID-19.
Yeah, good call. And nothing's changed. That's the beauty of it. With all the health regulations that are in place, it's the same as what it was at round 5, round 10, round 15. He's just enabled them to come in, do their quarantine time in the state if required. There is a bit of difference because you've got some teams that have gone to better markets when you talk about Tasmania and also South Australia, so they won't have to do as long in quarantine here in WA. But 100% hasn't paid for it and has stuck to his guns.
Happy birthday to Phoebe. I know friends driving the car, they reckon a good start time of around 4 to 4.30, and that would mean that going into the East Coast, it starts a bit earlier so that they could go out, but they're not going to be able to go out in the east, are they, Hayes? Sadly. And for us too, I think it's important not to be too late, because one thing that I hate doing those late games, and I've travelled for so many years, unfortunately not for the last couple, and done games that start at 7.50, so broadcast 5.50 back into Perth, 7.50 on the east coast. By the time you finish your work, it's 11, 11.30 at night, and you end up going for a bourbon in the dodgy laneway. And it's hard to get it, you know, Chinatown's already shut. Hey, it's a little bit earlier for a grand final event.
It's amazing.
It's nice so you can go out and enjoy it with your friends, and maybe if you want to go with your kids and have a little bit of fun after the game.
It's amazing the different culture that you have in Victoria and here in Western Australia around sporting events. That, yeah, you know, on a Friday arvo, they would finish at 5 o'clock from work, yeah, and they would probably go out for drinks. They'd go out for dinner first, and then they start their game normally at 7.50. Well, you look at our sporting events, they're always 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 6.40 at the latest, and then you don't get a chance to go out to a restaurant until after the game, of which by that time it's probably too late.
But that's why I like the grand final time slot being left as it is, because in Victoria, obviously it's lunchtime here, but in Victoria it's finished at a time where you can still go and have dinner with your friends or your family. You know, you don't have to spend your life savings at a football ground if you don't want to. Let's go to the next guest, Kevin in Langford. G'day, Kev.
G'day, boys. Going to have a dig. Going to have a dig at the media.
What for?
So I reckon you guys, oh, just a whole lot, mate. You guys crucified Toby Green before anything, you know, went down. You know, the way that you guys did this and that, and I reckon the tribunal pretty much got it right. I was hoping he was going to get 2 weeks and maybe make the grand final if they made it. But I reckon they're on the money. This 6 weeks, 7 weeks and all that, and the way that they carried on. You know, like, you guys are there to report the news and have an opinion after it, not try and influence it.
No, we can have it. We can have our opinion at any time.
You can, but
yeah,
I mean, but
and I'm going to.
But have you seen the way? Yeah, you can. But I'm, yeah, and I'm having a dig, and I'm saying.
Well,
yeah,
but
don't blame
us, because they didn't listen to us. Because if it was me, mate, he would have got more 9 weeks like Greg Williams did. Because you shouldn't be touching an umpire, Kev. You should not be touching an umpire.
I understand all that, mate. But if you look at the thing, I fully agree. I'm not saying that you should touch an umpire, but the reasons and the rules and the situations that you guys come up with, the two guys were still having a conversation after the contact.
So Kev, they made the contact, doesn't make it right.
Then they had a conversation. So Kev, what do you want us to do on the show on a Monday night?
We roll in and we get asked our opinion on it. Do you want to say no? Let's just wait another day. Let the tribunal do it. Is that what you want from us and all the people in the media?
Okay. Well, the thing is, well, then take a look at where you were. How far off the mark you were then?
Well, I said 3 weeks last night. I'll replay the tape if you want.
I'm sorry, you did, but I'm listening to a lot of other media, especially like, I won't name them, but I watch a fair bit of a certain channel every night of the week. And, you know, and people who haven't even played the game yet, mate. They've never played the game and they're saying this and that, like he's gone out and murdered somebody. I mean, come on. It's a game, you know, like the guys started talking to each other. Let's just talk about football and, you know, it's not the end of the earth. I know it's what you guys talk about all the time. Okay, but let's just bring it back in the picture, yeah? Bit more normality when you discuss it. That's all I got to say.
All right. Good on you. Thanks for that. Thanks for your opinion. As I said, I reckon he was lucky. He could have easily got a hell of a lot more than
so
what
he
got.
So are we allowed to talk about who's likely to come in this weekend, or do we got to wait for the actual announcement?
No, you'd have to wait for Kev to ring you up and tell you.
Good on you, Kev.
Mouse, hello.
Carl and Paul, how you going?
Good, Mouse.
What it's worth, Carl and Paul. I would have given him 5 weeks, but just on the grand final, the timing's probably you start about 4:45. That allows about just before 6 o'clock halftime break for the halftime entertainment with our beautiful lights. Finish the game about 7:30 for the presentation, so it's not too late for the kids in around Australia. And also, don't forget, there's going to be probably going on past after game concert with all the players presented on the ground afterwards. That'll happen as well. So that would probably go to about 9:30, and the stadium can't stay too late anyway because of the liquor restrictions. So I think everything would have to be finished at the stadium by 10 o'clock anyway. So I would bet around about a 4:45 game. And just on Matthew Pavlich, what you're talking about before, Carl, I actually don't know why he's doing the review anyway. Like, and even the other person, whoever that was, they have to come in on Zoom. You got blokes like Rodney Eade, who were in Melbourne, who played in 4 premierships, coached 4 or 5 different clubs, worked as a football manager at Collingwood, and knows the game inside out. They're the sort of people you should be getting to review your football club, not someone who's in a different state who's basically just played the game and should be, you know, in a different zone altogether. They should have someone like a Rodney Eade who actually knows the game inside out to review your club. That's only my opinion.
They did have Graham Wright over there, but I think the other Ken, I'm not sure of his name, but I think he was based out of New Zealand, Pav out of Western Australia. And clearly when they announced that, they weren't in lockdown, so things did change. But look, you can't hide from Pav's credentials. Been around football for a long time in a number of different roles, not only at Fremantle as a skipper, as a player, but also through the AFLPA, media, other business interests as well. So look, to me, he was a good candidate.
All right, don't dig yourself into a hole. Lodge a free dial before you dig inquiry. Let's go. Go to Jeremy in Mozzie Park. Jeremy, hello.
Hey, I love your show, guys, and keep going with your opinions on anything. Toby Green was lucky. Anyway, my call. I'm a passionate sports fanatic. You can probably tell I'm a Kiwi.
Yeah.
I've watched every grand final series since I've been here for the last 11 years. But I'm pretty pissed off. I think sporting events and everything should be going ahead. I don't agree with McGowan's lockdowns, but I just think there's a lot of hypocrisy here, and I won't be watching the final series, and I won't be watching my beloved All Blacks on the weekend because I don't actually agree with what McGowan's doing, denying people coming for compassionate reasons from New South Wales. I do note, interestingly, he said today no one from New South Wales is coming to Western Australia. Well, last time I looked, there's 11 or 12 Wallabies who happen to come from Sydney. And GWS, I think they come from Sydney, don't they?
Well, no, they hadn't been in Sydney for 10 weeks.
Rules, yeah, they're not supposed to be here.
No, they haven't been there. They haven't been there for a long time. But I think
yeah, I know. But he said he. I think the thing is that it's all being a little bit bastardised, and I don't want to rain on people's parade, although I probably am. But I just think there's a principle here. There's people who can't get back, who live here in Western Australia from Sydney. And they're not in risky zones. They've been vaccinated. They keep getting turned down. I don't think it's right. And I'm with your compatriot, Liam Bartlett. I'm going to vote with my feet, and I won't be watching these games.
All right.
Well, I just don't think it's right.
Well, stay listening to us, because we're going to have one of your All Blacks and one of the Wallabies on our program tomorrow, mate, to preview the game on Sunday. So at least you'll get to hear from a couple of the boys anyway, all right? So stay listening to us.
Thank you.
Good on you, Jeremy. We're going to clear a commitment. We'll be back with more Spud Shed. Download the free Spud Shed app. You can sign up and start saving a spud load. The savings are amazing. Back soon. It's 13 to 7.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to Sports Day to Sam and Clarkson, who joins us online. G'day, Sammy.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are we going?
Not bad.
Yeah, I just want to give you an opinion and then I'll ask you a question at the end of it. Now, I just want everybody in WA to embrace the grand final. Being born and bred in Melbourne, even if you can't get there, go around there, barbecues, etc., etc. Just enjoy the moment. Embrace it. Show the world how it's done. It's a national sport. It's not a Victorian game anymore, so let's just embrace it in WA. Now, secondly, has this cost Toby Green the captaincy for next year?
No, well, he's not the captain. Stephen Canelio is still the captain, but he's been the fill-in skipper. He's the vice-captain of that team. But Stephen Canelio took back the role last week.
Okay, do you reckon it'll cost him a leadership role next year or anything like that for David Green?
I think so, yeah. Look, I think they've got to make a call. I'm not sure Stephen Canelio is the right guy going forward. He's had some challenges, and maybe for him right now, he's had two pretty lean years to get back to just worrying about himself. Could be a consideration for that group. Up until last week, I probably would have still gone with Toby Green. I think everybody was talking about him being the future captain of that football club. But what has occurred, I think it has changed that for me and maybe for some of the leaders of that football club.
Thanks, guys. Have a good evening.
All right, Sammy.
What do you reckon, Carl? Would you go with Toby next year? Because it was looking like they could make a change.
I think his brand is tarnished. And it's important here for the AFL because they're the ones that pay the bills at GWS. Let's not forget that. It's same at Gold Coast, right? So they have a lot of power. And I'll be interested to see on the back of what Gillon McLachlan has said as to whether there might be an appeal. I don't think there will be, given that they'll want to focus on their finals and try to push ahead with a positive motion, I think. I just feel that his brand has been tarnished, unfortunately, and it's his own fault. Peter in High Wycombe joined us. G'day, Pete.
G'day, gents. How are we? Mate, just a couple of things. I like the idea of the time for the grand final, WA time, 5:45. You've got 7:45 over East. You've got time to have a pre-game show start, say 3:30, which is a good build-up for it. After the game, that's suited with the parties that people are going to be having around home that can't get to the game. After the game, you're finishing around, say, 9-ish, and still people can go out over here. Let's face it, they're having it in WA. Let's look after the WA people a little bit. The pre-game can start now 3:30. Just a thought on Mr. Green. He lost me when he first put the boots out into that fellow's throat a few years ago. But I know you've got to take every incident on its merits, and I would have thought 5 at the minimum. But anyway, your thoughts?
Yeah, look, I don't disagree, Pete. I thought the 6 that the AFL QC asked for was probably going to be on the lenient side of things, and I think so did he. That was why, when the penalty was handed down, that I think that Gillon McLachlan has gone out of his way to say that he didn't think that he felt that that was appropriate. I think that he wanted there to be a harsher hand dealt than what was.
He was strong on it, and given it was a press conference, not for that reason. It was for the AFL Grand Final announcement. For him to talk on it and go into that sort of detail clearly showed everybody that he would like to see that increased.
Freo Focus, we will get into in a moment. For Sullivan Logistics, your trusted door-to-door express country freight service. What do you know? What do you know?
What do I know?
Yeah.
Well, I wonder about Chris Mayne. We think he's going to pop up at the Fremantle Dockers, and we just recently had Cam Shepherd depart the Peel Thunder role. I'm not putting it out of the realms that he could be the next coach of Peel Thunder in a playing coach role, Carl, which is something we haven't seen for a while.
So Chris Mayne, player coach at Peel Thunder for Sullivan Logistics and Cal Express, your trusted door-to-door express country freight service. Visit calexpress.com.au. Like your thoughts on that. We need to get to the break, and then it'll be time for the news.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Keep the calls coming. Don't be shy. Plenty of time straight out of the 7 o'clock news for you to get involved. We'll update sport for the Bottle-O. Got to love your local. Got to love the Bottle-O. Plenty of unfolding action at the Paralympic Games. We will also touch base with Craig Gabriel, and he will bring us up to date with the action that is going to happen at the US Open, which gets underway later on tonight. And then we'll get into our SKG injury report. And Brock Feeney is going to join us for motorsport tonight. He was the young man that was signed up by Triple Eight for the supercar replacement for Jamie Wincup. So looking forward to getting to know him a little bit more. He's a young driver that has been on the rails for quite a few years now. So looking forward to finding out more about him very soon.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Crazy cheap prices on the free Spud Shed app.
Right, let's update some sport. A great range, friendly service that independently owned by the locals. Got to love your local. Got to love the Bottle-O. David Zaharakis not offered a new contract at the Bombers, but yet he wants to play on. Thoughts, Hayes?
No, I think his time's up. I think, look, he might go to Geelong. They like 31-year-olds. But outside of that, I can't see it happening. He's been a good player, 226 games. But sometimes you've got to know they've gone in a different direction. I think maybe it's time for him to start planning the next part of his career.
What about Richmond signing Daniel Rioli, 24, for only one season, 2022, and Ryan Mansell, a 21-year-old, for 2 years, 2023? I was a little bit surprised here.
Yeah, I thought he had a really good back end of the year. He went to defence, and I was just thinking today about that sort of player would be good at the West Coast Eagles. I think they need more speed, more run and carry coming out of defence. So you just wonder whether there was any interest coming from them. But he's been loyal, and they've done a good job together, Richmond and Rioli.
1 year, and he's 24. Is that, you reckon, more because he would then become...
Possibly, yeah.
...a free agent? Yeah. They're cagey these days, aren't they, these player managers? GWS and Geelong. Now, there's a lot of tickets that are already sold, Hayes. You and I just had a look during the news at the general admission tickets. There's some tickets left up in the high 500s, but they're only $28 to $35 a ticket. So they're very well priced for what is going to be a really important game.
And then next week they're going to go up, aren't they? You're talking about the prelim final. They could double, maybe triple for a prelim. So it is the opportunity for all those fans out there.
And for the grand final, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong here, but I am expecting the tickets to be, a hell of a lot of them, attached with a package.
Package
now,
deal.
Now, when you and I have gone to grand finals, which we have been fortunate enough to go to a lot over the years, I've probably been to a few more than you, I'm a bit older, is that there's a $1,500 breakfast. For example, the North Melbourne Football Club, which may well still be rekindled here and keep that that theatre going. You go to the breakfast, you pay the $1,500, you get a whole host of people and personalities get rolling through that breakfast, plenty of stories, plenty of fun.
Drinks.
And you get a ticket to the game. Then there's the other lunches that occur. There's events outside the ground, which may well happen around this venue as well, where they get an extension to sell packages because they're limited with the amount that they can sell inside the stadium. So whilst you can buy a ticket with some, say, in a box, which is generally a lot of the corporate partners of a lot of the football clubs that maybe even those participating, and then you have the extension of the others. It could be $1,000 a ticket, you know.
Yep, I think we're heading for 1,300 plus for a lot of the tickets. When I heard Travis talk about the amount of tickets that could be taken up by the teams, it won't leave much. The demand is going to be high as well. Carl, tonight also, Jared Healy has knocked back an approach from Carlton to go onto their coach committee. So I was very strong on them at least having a process to go through that. But it's a bit strange because you've had Luke Sayers come out last week talking about they want the most experienced and best coach. If you're a coach out there, a young coach, you're unlikely now to put your hat in the ring, aren't you, when you know exactly what they're looking for. And coaches don't want to lose an auditioning process.
No, the deal's done, mate.
You don't want to lose too. So that was the reason that Jared Healy actually pulled out of it. He said, I've been on radio earlier on in the week saying that he thought Ross Lyon was the best candidate and he didn't want to go in with predetermined ideas. But they've just made a bungle of that whole process. If you're going to have a process, don't have your chairman come out and say most experienced and best coach. Because when he said that, we all pointed towards Ross Lyon being that man.
Yeah. I don't know why Ross Lyon's the best candidate, because Nathan Buckley's record's better than Ross Lyon's, if you actually want to talk about win-loss
ratio. I
think
he may have ruled himself out.
Fair enough. And of course, Alistair Clarkson is an even better candidate if you're talking about win-loss ratio. The point that I'd like to make, we've got one recycled coach at the moment, and that is Brett Ratten, who had a 50% coaching record when he had his last stint at Carlton and got his marching orders. Ross Lyon ended Frio with a 52% coaching record, even though he got him to a grand final. He got St Kilda to a couple of grand finals. Didn't win any. One bounce of the footy. Could have been very different. And he would have been like a lot of the other guys, Chris Scott, John Longmire, Adam Simpson, Luke Beveridge, and even others like Paul Roos, who got his flag in 2005. Guess who against? West Coast. Guess what? One kick in it. That mark by Leo Barry. Mm. You're only a kid. But I will remember that.
I wasn't a kid.
Well, you were.
I was playing.
Yeah, but you were still a kid. 2005. How old were you in 2005? 21.
In the AFL.
21. 21.
I was 24.
Yeah, there you go. You're a kid. So 2000, well, you are. You're 20, at that age.
Okay.
No, you're still a young man, right? You're a lot older and wiser now, right? But he went there, and he only got a 32% win-loss ratio when he went to Melbourne and then handed over the reins to Goodwin. And Goodwin has now got a chance, genuine chance, of winning a premiership. It's interesting how much impact coaches have when they go to a new club. Now, Ross Lyon is probably one of the best candidates out of all the more recently recycled coaches, which includes Kevin Sheedy, John Worsfold, Mick Malthouse. They all have very poor, and you can make up all the excuses you like, very poor recycled coaching records in the last decade.
Rodney Eade was another one that went into it.
I'd be really intrigued to see whether they go down that path, or why don't they? Why don't they go down the path of giving someone a fresh start? Because the indications are, if you give someone a fresh start, they're more likely to get the job done than maybe some of the recycled coaches, which none of those, none, have ever in this period of time won a premiership.
And history will tell you that you get the premiership early in your career, don't you? Whether it's the first, second, third, up to the fifth season. Outside of that, it does become quite difficult. And Damien Hardwick's probably the most recent that bucked the trend. But another Clarkson disciple will be named as the Collingwood coach. So you'd look around that as well to see who has been working with Damien Hardwick and also Clarkson. Adam Kingsley's the one that they say has run a close second to Craig McRae. So if I was Carlton, I'd be going through that process. And when I did hear the comments, most experienced and best coach, I didn't like
Deal's
that.
Done.
I want the next premiership coach. I want the next person who's going to be the premiership coach for our football club. They're the words that I would have been happier with from Luke Sayers. Not, I want the most experienced and best coach, because, you know, that means that you're looking towards a recycled coach. And look, I think he said it, knowing that Ross Lyon was going to get the job. And if I was a young coach, you wouldn't even bother to apply for this position.
Ash Barty's going to be in action tonight. John Millman, James Duckworth, Astra Sharma, Nick Kyrgios, all losers. We'll have a chat to Craig Gabriel shortly about all of the US Open action. He will join us next here on Sports Day.
Sports Day for Kia. The new Kia Niro electric SUV range has landed. And Spud Shed. Download the free app and save a spud load.
Welcome back to the program. Just repeating some of the other news that has transpired today as well. Caitlin Bassett's going to have some knee surgery out of the upcoming test matches against England and New Zealand. And the news that Jamie Graham is going to be out at the West Coast Eagles. So I'll see what transpires there. We'll have a chat very soon to Craig Gabriel, who hopefully is coming our way. We were just trying to get hold of him. He's over there in the US of A. What we do know is that Ash Barty will be in action at the US Open Tennis tonight. Gets underway at about 11 o'clock our time. And that will be the first of the matches that will be played. And just having a look at the women's side of the draw, Isla Tomljanovic will be up against Katie Volnets. And then you've got, I'm just trying to see where she is. So probably not until tomorrow morning, I'd suggest, our time will be the time that Ash Barty will be on court. Craig Gabriel is with us, and let's go to him now. G'day, Craig. How are you?
I'm okay.
Late night.
After the first day, which was a hell of a long day over here. It really was.
Yeah. Now, I spoke about off the top of our program tonight about the Andy Murray-Stefanos Tsitsipas match.
Yep.
He's called him a cheat. He's had air conditioner in his shoes. Effing joke. Effing under 12s. What was going on here? What made him so angry?
Well, it was a very intense match. It was a fantastic match, let me tell you. And I think part of it was Andy just really a bit peed off with himself for not capitalizing on some incredible opportunities that he had. But, he could have been up 2-0, in fact, because he had a set point in the second. But I think it was, some of it was to do with frustration. But I think it also knocked on the head all those retirement doomsdayers for Andy Murray, because he showed he's still got it. And the thing is, there is a lot of talk in the locker room and around the players on the men's tour about Tsitsipas, and some of the let's call it tactics that, you know, for want of another word, that he may employ during a match, like taking his time at the wrong time for an opponent. And it sort of throws them off a bit. Now, this whole thing really came to a major head during the Cincinnati tournament a couple of weeks ago, when Alexander Zverev absolutely went to town on Tsitsipas with the chair umpire, because of the amount of time he had taken to go and change clothes and go to the bathroom and all that during the middle of a match. So that's what Andy was getting really irritated about, because it did break some momentum.
So what are they going to do about this, Craig, the WTA and the ATP? If the players aren't happy, and they've been talking about it for a long time, clearly it's being used as a tactic. We're outside the spirit of the game.
Yeah, look, I mean, you could say, call it gamesmanship in one sense. I don't know. I mean, I know that they've talked about it in their council meetings, because Murray even mentioned that last night. So if they can't solve it in their council meetings, what are they going to do? So I think it might come to a major discussion point now, because as Murray also indicated, he says, my team spoke about this happening before we went out for the match. So a lot of players know that it does occur when Stefanos plays his match. And Andy said afterwards, unbelievable player. No issue about that, talking about Tsitsipas. He says, but I've lost all respect for him.
Gregor Radetzky had some really big comments to say about Nick Kyrgios. He was beaten by Roberto Bautista Agut. 6-3, 6-4, 6-love. Another disappointing result for Nick Kyrgios. On the back of leaving the Olympics, or not going to the Olympics, do you think he did much training? And what do you think the future holds for Nick? Do you have concerns about the next 12 months that he may be the next Bernard Tomic, dropping out of the 100 and just going into the wilderness?
I think he's worth a lot more than Bernie Tomic. On and off the court, Nick is a major entertainer, and the kids and the fans, certainly in the United States, love him big time. And he relishes that. He enjoys that. But last night, what happened with Nick, because I spoke with him afterwards, and he said he was just getting frustrated with the chair umpire, with the stringent regulations being imposed. I mean, Nick is one of the quickest players on the tour. Nobody can suggest otherwise. He's not Rafa. Rafa is painful between points with all his ticks and whatnot that he has to go on with before serving a ball. But it is incredibly humid over here. Nick is trying to dry himself off, and he gets a time warning. So those sort of things were really irritating him, and he just went, a couple of times I think he went over time allocation. But, it's a different situation. You've got to provide some sort of leeway. But as far as Nick himself is concerned, he's just happy to be out there entertaining. He's not fit. Let's be honest about it, both match play-wise and physically. But, he still does like the competition. What he does with himself and his future is only he knows at this point. But, I think we should... whatever he decides, support him.
James Duckworth lost a five-setter. Johnny Millman lost a couple of tie breaks to end his tournaments. We haven't had a great start, have we, really? I think only one winner thus far have come out of the Aussie camp, and that was Alexei Poprin.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, I felt for James. Ducks had five match points in the third set, and, he lost momentum, he lost steam. He became deflated. He even went up 2-love in the final set and then lost six games in a row. So he said it just wasn't there at that stage. So, you have to figure he was incredibly deflated when he wasn't able to convert those match points. But Alexei played well. I mean, it was fantastic to see Alexei score that result over Radu Albot in four sets. Now he's got a tough one in Grigor Dimitrov in the next round. And Alexei feels that things are starting to come together, because it's been a bit of an up-and-down season for him.
Jordan Thompson, Alex de Minaur, and, of course, Ash Barty. Isla Tomljanovic looks like she kicks off the action, though, from an Australian perspective tonight, 11 o'clock our time. It's pretty late, Craig, but for you it's going to be another late night. How do you expect Ash Barty to go against Vera Zvonareva? That is going to be her first contest and goes in as the number one seed.
Yeah, absolutely. And Ash will win that match. I would figure straight sets. Maybe because it's the first match and getting acclimatized to match conditions at the U.S. Open, maybe she might, drop the first set. But it's not going to be a matter of concern. I still think straight sets for Ash. As far as Alex de Minaur, he's going to be playing under the lights. He plays Taylor Fritz. He's not lost to Fritz before. They've played three times, but like Alexi, Alex has been a bit up and down. I mean, he's just got over a bout of COVID as well. Max Purcell, who got a wild card, he's got a tough one against Yannick Sinner. Sam Stosur on against Annette Kontaveit. They played once, Kontaveit won. Alia is, as you were saying, first up against a player who I've got no idea about. She's a 19-year-old American named Katie Volnets. And then also the other Australian, Storm Sanders against Misaki Doi, Jordan Thompson against Gianluca Major. And I'd go with Tomo on that one.
What about Naomi Osaka? How is her mindset on the back of pulling out of the French, missing Wimbledon, the pressure of the Olympics? I saw it today. She looked like she was a lot happier, got the win. Do you think she's finally back to where she needs to be?
Yeah, look, she put out something interesting a couple of days ago, I think on her Instagram or Twitter, that suggested she is learning to like herself. And if others outside her group or team have objections or issues with her, she said, I'm sorry. But in other words, that's not my problem, that's your problem. So she did seem to be a lot more relaxed. She seemed to be a lot more relaxed in her post-match media conference. I asked her last night if this issue of the statement she put out about liking herself, it was just a light bulb moment, or if it was something that's been gradual after all she's been through. And she said, oh, she thinks it's been a little bit more on the gradual side of things. So, you know, I think that's important. We'll see. She did look quite comfortable and relaxed on and off the court.
And the other big thing, it's great to have crowds back over there in America.
Oh, yeah.
What is it like with the COVID protocols, and what can we expect maybe into next year if we look at our own Open, but also other sporting events maybe happening in our country?
Yeah, look, over here, it's New York. You telling me to wear a mask? I'll wear one if I want. You know, don't hassle me. You know, it's that sort of an attitude you'll have over here. But I will say, a lot of people wearing masks. Although there was a concern about social distancing yesterday, when crowds and crowds just congregated trying to get into the stadium for the start of play. And because of all the checks that they've got to do, that delayed things with the fans spreading out. So, but the freedoms, oh, it's fantastic. I mean, you know, you've got to be careful. You're not going to throw caution to the wind. I mean, I know I've got my mask whenever I'm walking outside and, you know, being in close proximity to people, and you try and social distance, but you know, sometimes it's difficult. But I think, you know, what we're seeing over here is what we can only hope for in the next 12 months in Australia.
What about Novak Djokovic?
Get political.
Yeah, Will. What about Djokovic? He broke his shoulder at the Olympic Games. He couldn't play in the big final with his partner in the mixed doubles. Has he recovered in time with that broken shoulder that he had?
Yeah, the broken shoulder. I mean, chicken. We should start calling him chicken wing. He seems fine.
Of course,
he
is.
Bit of history on the line now. He plays his first match tonight against a young Danish guy who's got incredible talent, and his name is Holger Rune. Name to look out for.
Holger Rune. All right. I'll keep an eye out for him.
Holger Rune. I mean, his whole name, wait for this, is Holger Vitus Nordskov Rune.
Right. Okay.
I hope he doesn't go too well. Can't see myself saying that name when he wins a big tournament.
There's a 25-second news report just with his name.
Yeah, I can butcher a few words.
Hey, Craig, thank you, mate. And we will keep in touch with you as the tournament unfolds. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, guys.
Craig Gabriel, bring us right up to date with the US Open. What did you make of Naomi Osaka's return? Hey, she was pretty dominant, wasn't she? She got
the
job done.
Yeah, she was. I saw that post too she put on social media. It's amazing. A lot of these athletes are still so young. They're still learning, but they've been in the spotlight for a long time. With that comes a lot of scrutiny and pressure, but she seems to be in a better place. And look, I still think at her best, she will challenge Ash Barty in any final, because I think she's got a slight advantage, in my opinion, when it comes to
on-court success and what she can bring with her overall game. I think she's got more weapons than Ash.
I've got a couple of SMSs that have been sent through us on the SMS system, Hayes. A lot of people saying that they'd like the grand final to start somewhere between 4.30 and 5.30. You said 6 o'clock earlier. That would mean an 8 o'clock start back into Victoria. You still feel that that might be it, given that they're already experiencing that and that they're locked down and it won't be too late for the kids to make it a family event back in Victoria, New South Wales and Queensland, say?
Yep, in line with their Friday night matches and many of their Saturday night matches as well.
Even though it's a grand final, though? You don't think that they might like to get out a little bit earlier if it was a couple
of
hours
Look, I think whatever
earlier?
Data you get's not going to be real because of the fact that they're all in lockdown. So the numbers are going to be really good. It's going to be fake.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter. All right, we'll come back in a moment. We'll have a chat about the SKG injury report. A lot of teams looking pretty good. We'll do that next. Let's get into our SKG radiology injury report. SKG radiology care about your welfare, Hayes, and are now bulk billing.
We'll start with Brisbane and its building. Callum Archie, groin, he'll be a test. Grant Birchall with his knee, he is also a test. Darcy Gardner, knee injury too, he'll be a test. Ryan Lester, hamstring test. So there's a few. And Dan McStay, the big one there, concussion. He will miss 1 week. It looks like Connor Ballenden will be the player that comes in to take over from Dan McStay. They've already got Hipwood out, so they become vulnerable in their front half. A lot needs to come from Danaher, and Charlie Cameron is in really good form. He kicked 5 again on the weekend, but those two, if they are to get past the Bulldogs, are going to have big games.
No doubt about that. The one that I'm most interested in, and look, I'm still probably astounded that they beat Sydney, to be perfectly frank, Hayes, given I wasn't here last night, but 2.7 of that last quarter to 1 point, they fell in. They have 16 players, which includes Toby Green, listed on their injury list this week. Now, Isaac Cumming, we saw him limp off with his ankle injury on the weekend. He is listed as a test. Adam Kennedy's listed as a test with his hamstring. Sam Reed also sustained a hamstring injury, so he's listed as a test. The rest of them are either out for the season, indefinite, or not available and have TBC next to their name. So there's only those three. If those three go out, that's 16 players that are unavailable for selection this coming weekend. So they are really getting to the bottom of the pile. And look, I don't expect GWS to go any further, to be perfectly honest, just purely on that basis.
And there's no excuse for Geelong looking through their injury list. They've got a real small one. Tom Stewart's the only one that's indefinite that I don't think will come back at all. Zach Tui, I think, is ready to come back in. They got Mitch Duncan. So this is a complete team, and we've spoken a lot about Geelong. They were so disappointing against Port Adelaide. They were slow, they were sloppy with the footy, but they will respond. I've got no doubt about that, but no excuses for this group and Chris Scott.
And aren't Melbourne just sitting pretty, Hayes? They're already arrived here in Perth. They're up there at the Joondalup Resort. They're relaxing. They're training at Joondalup Arena. And you look at Marty Hoare, Jaden Hunt, who was in the team regularly, has a test, so he will be available for their game next weekend. They've still got all of the rest of this week and next week before they've got to play another footy, win that straight into the grand final. Aaron Nitschke, a young bloke, and Adam Tomlinson, unfortunately, is already out for the season. So, Melbourne, you look at that list now, and you go back, and when I reflect, when I wrote them off at the start of the season, it was 16 long. They've done it really well.
And you can say the same about Port Adelaide. You go through their list, Trent Burgoyne, he's out for the season, as is Kane Farrell, and also Tarr Schofield. But they've got some big tests, Mitch Georgiades, and also Razia Fantasia, who was brilliant, kicked the 4 goals, and their small forwards actually caused an issue. Would you be inclined to bring in Mitch Georgiades, or do you keep going that with that mix-up?
Well, they need one or the other, because let's face it, Fantasia replaced Georgiades. So we've got the situation here where they're both racing a hamstring injury with a test. They're playing it at home. They've got a week to recover. You'd think that, and from up to this point, Georgiades was a regular in the team, right?
Mm.
Fantasia wasn't necessarily, but when he's got his opportunity, like he did on the weekend, he had an impact. So, mate, very interesting problem to have for Ken Hinckley.
If they get through and they take on Melbourne, who've got Lever and obviously Stephen May,
yep.
You've probably got to go a taller one or a taller three, don't you, just to give something to take them out of the game,
well,
or to go more kamikaze, get the ball on the ground and have all those speedsters?
Well, I think that you've got alternatives there. You know, they've got Marshall and they've got Dixon. They've got big guys as well who are very, very capable players. So they have that in their mix, but really good problem to have. Fantasia, Georgiades, if they're both fit, that means selection headaches for Coach Ken Hinckley next week.
And then you take a look at the Western Bulldogs. They're in good shape. Josh Bruce, the big one out there, he's out for the season. Zane Cordy is a test. He was a late withdrawal. Toby McLean and also Hayden Crozier, they're unlikely to play. And Ed Richards, TBC, but they've almost got a full book.
Yeah, they have. You know, Richards was getting a game regularly. Cordy's important, very important, but only with the illness. He should be hopefully okay to play because they need everybody, particularly when it comes to their big man department, up and firing. I think that it's really important on the back of losing Josh Bruce. They've been a little bit vulnerable up front. They got the job done in what was really difficult conditions, wet conditions on the weekend. Not sure how they're going to go this week in much different conditions, and as to whether they can back up after that hard slog against Essendon, where they won comfortably, but they need Cordy to be available for the big boys that they're going to confront this weekend.
And just repeating some of the earlier news in football, David Zaharakis won't be offered a contract in season 2022. 226 senior games he played. He was a very good player in that famous goal he kicked in the Anzac Day blockbuster. Robert Harvey leaves Collingwood after 10 years. He's the interim coach. He did a pretty good job. Tough for him now. I wonder where he will end up. And also, West Perth granted a Waffle W team for season 2023, taking the competition to 7 teams, only Perth and East Perth without a side.
SKG Radiology care about your welfare. They're now bulk billing Medicare rebatable services across all 20 locations. If you didn't hear the earlier news, Caitlin Bassett, while we're on SKG, she needs some knee surgery out of the upcoming test matches against England and New Zealand. She had a meniscus tear in her left knee that has forced her out. A lot of tickets have been sold to the Geelong GWS match, almost sold out when it comes to general admission. There's still some corporate hospitality available for those of you that are keen to jump on board there. And lastly, Hayes, before I talk a little bit about the Bledisloe Cup, Jamie Graham, there's reports that he's out at West Coast and that Jared Schofield is in. What do you know about that little scenario there?
Yeah, I think absolutely the West Coast Eagles are chasing Jared Schofield. He fits the profile. They need somebody to strengthen up their midfield. It was an issue towards the back end of this year, and maybe since Sam Mitchell left, they've had some issues in that part of the ground. And I think for Jamie Graham, after going for the Collingwood job, interviewing very well, for him to go to the next level, I think it makes sense to go to another club. Now, I'm not sure of that club, but look, Hawthorn's been mentioned. He's been mates with Sam Mitchell in the past. And I wouldn't rule out the Fremantle Dockers too. Mates also with Justin Longmuir. Fits the profile there. But for him, I think going to a big Victorian club, maybe under a Damien Hardwick type, would be good for his career.
Are you going to the Bledisloe Cup this weekend? Gloucester Park's Bridge Bar is the perfect place to meet. It's open for 2 hours before the big game. There's casual food, burgers, there's beer on tap, and there's TAB facilities available in a relaxed outdoor atmosphere. The perfect way to get ready to cheer on the boys at the match. Should be good weather too. There's parking available at Gloucester Park too, then a short walk across the beautiful Matagarup Bridge to Optus Stadium. Gloucester Park's Bridge Bar, the place to meet before the Bledisloe Cup test match this weekend. Make sure that you get in there and have a couple of coldies and have a little feed. We'll come back in a moment with some motorsport. A new boy jumping into Jamie Wincup's seat. His name is Brock Feeney. He'll join us next. Welcome back to Sports Day. Time now for motorsport. And joining us in our update today is a man who jumps into Jamie Wincup's seat at Red Bull Racing for 2022 and beyond. Triple Eight has confirmed that the 18-year-old Brock Feeney is the man that will replace the 7-time supercar champion. He joins us here on Sports Day. Brock, welcome, mate. Congratulations. How are you feeling?
I'm on cloud nine at the moment, guys, to be completely honest. So it's so hard to believe that it's true, but it's such an awesome day for me to, you know, let it out to the public. I've known for about 4 weeks now, so to finally let everyone know is a big relief.
How did it come about, mate? Come on, take us through the negotiation, and when did it start?
Last year, Roland, you know, sort of talked to us about racing in the Super 2 series for this year, and he also mentioned that Jamie would be retiring at the end of this year and that someone would need to fill that spot. So sort of known for a while if I did a good job this year, great job this year, that there might be the chance that I'd step up, and it's been in the back of my mind for the whole season. So, 4 weeks ago, he called me into his office and said I got the job, and the 26th of July will be a day I'll never forget for the rest of my life.
Hey, Brock, take us back to when it started, mate. Take us back to the little kid. Has this always been your dream, your aspirations? And if so, where did you begin?
I was actually riding motorbikes at the age of 3, and I started racing them at 4. So, even though I'm only 18 years of age, I've been basically racing around the country for 14 years now, and certainly in my blood. My dad was a professional motorbike racer, and my mum and my dad met at a racetrack. So, it's been a long journey for myself.
No choice, mate.
Go-kart at 9.
Well, you can see, you get the racetrack or not.
Oh, wow, I haven't got that far.
Now, Matt, you come into this with good form. Obviously, you're leading the Super 2 Series as well. You've won 4 out of the 6 races this season. So you must feel confident that you're ready. And obviously, taking over from a legend like Jamie Wincup is a big ask. But given where you've come from, you must go into it with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it is very big shoes to fill. And, you know, with those results this year, I knew I had to win races to get the job at first. So it's been a great season so far, but to, you know, be filling the greatest of all time, it is hard to believe. And, you know, it is a big role to fill, but there's the best people in the business to lean on there. So you've got Jamie and Shane, who's dominating at the moment. So there's plenty of people to, if I need some assistance, that will be there to help me.
Do they give you assistance? Like, what do you get from Jamie Wincup? He's going to keep on and be a director for your team, and also Shane Van Gisbergen, who's an absolute legend himself. How much support do you get from those drivers?
They have been giving me quite a lot this year. It's my first year with the team this year, so there's been plenty to learn about, you know, in the car and everything. And I think the biggest thing next year stepping up will just be the experience that I lack. So obviously it'll be my first full-time season. You know, it's not only the driving that comes part of this job. You know, there's a lot of media commitments, signing sessions, and a lot happens on a weekend. So, you know, to have those guys to lean on, they can, you know, tell me how they went through the process and how they made it all a lot easier. You know, we'll certainly get a big stress off my mind. So, yeah, as I said, there's plenty of people to lean on there, which will be awesome.
And do you have expectations for how you'll go in your first season?
To be honest, it's quite hard to put an expectation on at the moment. You know, I'm still focused on trying to win the Super 2 Championship first, and then I suppose I'll get to next year. But my biggest thing is obviously to learn as much as I can and, you know, try and have a consistent year. Want to, you know, try and consistently be getting good results. And I know there's going to be plenty of ups and downs, you know, not only next year, but in the years to come. So I want to learn as much as I can and, you know, help the team push forward and try and win races.
For those of us that don't know too much about the sport, the Super 2 Series, what are the differences between supercars and the Super 2 Series?
Basically, the car's 5 years older. So the car I'm racing at the moment in Super 2 is a 2017 cars that you would watch Jamie Wincup and Shane Van Gisbergen race. So it's probably about a second, a lap difference on a racetrack. So to be quite honest, it's not a big change for me. I've done a few laps in the new car as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And, yeah, not too much of a difference.
And you are the Super 3 Series champion as well. So we just got to throw that into the conversation, mate. It's not like you just stepped into a Super 2 and you've won 4 of the 6 races there. You won the Super 3 Series as well.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, did that in 2019 and hopefully we can win the Super 2 Championship this year and add another one to the collection and hopefully one day we'll be able to add the big prize in the Supercars Championship to it as well.
Now, driver of the team's 2021 Bathurst 1000 Wildcard entry as well. What about racing here at Wanneroo in Perth? Have you done any of that throughout your time?
I have not. I actually haven't been to Western Australia at all.
Oh, no.
Surprisingly
all right.
enough. So I'm definitely looking forward to being out to venture over there next year and the years to come. Looks like an awesome track. I've done plenty of laps on my simulator around there, but nothing beats real life.
We don't let everybody in, though. We're like a different country.
Yeah.
Well, I have been around there in real life. A bloke that obviously is a lot older than you and is long retired now, but his name was Larry Perkins. And
yeah.
I went around in the car, and I tell you what, mate, when you don't have control of that car and you're doing
scary,
it's very scary, especially at those speeds, mate. I just, you know, mate, I couldn't believe we stayed on the racetrack, to be perfectly honest. It's something that you have to actually experience to believe, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I actually jumped in the passenger seat with Russell Ingall, who I'm driving at the Bathurst 1000 with this year, at one of our ride days. And I could not believe it, to be honest. When you're not in control and you're not holding on to anything, it is very nerve-wracking. I'm like, oh, sure you know what you're doing, mate.
Well, because you're normally in control and you know how fast you can go and how... I suppose it's just the adaptability of the car and how well set up. And you put so much trust, don't you, in those engineers that are the ones that get you out there in the machinery that you're piling around a racetrack, right?
Oh, 100%. It's insane. You know, we do 300 kilometres at Bathurst. Yeah, you're hanging on by nuts and bolts. So, it's pretty cool, mate. Been an experience in the passenger seat of a V8, you know, once in a lifetime. So to even jump in there with Russell this year was... it blew my mind. It was insane.
Well, mate, we can hear the excitement in your voice. It's a job well done. It's been earned. It's not like you're just stepping in by chance. It's because of the great programs that you've been able to take hold of and do really well in. And we wish you luck, mate, and we look forward to seeing you here in Perth.
Thank you so much. I cannot wait to get over there and race there next year. Looking forward to it.
Good on you. Brock Feeney here on Sports Day.
Recently, Carl, I was on the back of my nephew's speed.
Not in control.
Hey, jet ski.
Not in control.
Not in control. Yeah. Geez, I was frightened. I actually had to say, mate, Carl, let me off. Let me off. He was just cruising. Little Bay it was out of Horrocks, and I got that frightened. Oh. I wasn't comfortable whatsoever.
The thing that I will never forget is when I went up behind a speedboat in Penang with my wife in one of those parasailing scenarios, right? My wife just basically never stopped.
Did you find them a bit boring?
No, well, I didn't find it. You should have heard. My wife was terrified and didn't stop talking about terrifying things. I don't really want to go into it any further here on the radio, but I had to try and calm her down, Hayes. I had to try and keep control. Jamie Wincup will retire at the end of the current season, so Feeney joins the Supercar Championship favourites, and looking forward to seeing him teaming up with Shane Van Gisbergen at that team. Certainly is going to keep them very, very strong, you'd suspect. On the other side, we'll come back. A man that always joins us on a Tuesday is on your radio, John Slavich, and we'll also update a little bit of what's happened in the Paralympic Games today. Welcome back to Sports Day and for Baraday Day, because the little things are everything. Johnny Slavich joins us. John, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, very good. Thank you, fellas. Boys, how are you all doing?
We're going really well indeed. Now, have you got some tournament results for us tonight?
Yeah, look, we've got a couple up. The Cardi local shots up was played over the weekend at the Cardinia Bowling Club. Winners were Peter Lunford, Brad Henley, Stephen West with a plus 32 shots up. Craig Stokes ran second, Clive Adams third, fourth place went to Lloyd McCoy. And in the Bassendean Fours, they had 24 teams, which was a great turnout. Joe Christick took out first place and Lisa Featherby came with second.
Unfortunately, we lost another event due to COVID. Which one was this one?
Yes, look, unfortunate the times we live in, but the Australian Trans-Tasman against New Zealand has been cancelled, so this year is going to be pretty thin on big events. So, unfortunately, the upcoming 2021 Trans-Tasman Test Series has been cut short due to COVID. They are looking to try and reschedule the event that was going to be held on the Gold Coast at Club Helenvale. Maybe November might be a better choice compared to August, what they were planning. But hopefully the teams can get out there and get a bit of practice, and hopefully 2022 at Birmingham for the Commonwealth Games, everyone can get out there and have a good hit out.
Any events we can look forward to locally in the next couple of weeks?
Absolutely. We've got the Sorrento Mixed Masters Fours, which will be played on the 26th and 27th of September. They have Australian ranking points for that and $5,000 in prize money. And Coburn have their Peter Sardovic Legends Trophy, which is on the 26th of September as well, boasting around $6,000 in prize money.
Beautiful, mate. Nice and short and sweet and succinct tonight. Thank you very much for your time. Take care.
So easy, guys. Thanks for having us.
Good on you. John Slavich there for Baraday Day. Don't miss out on the little moments, because the little things are everything. It's been a great day at the Paralympic Games. Gold for Darren Hicks in the road cycling. Also silver for Emily Petrikola. Bronze for Meg Lemon in the women's C4 time trial. Also in the road cycling, bronze for Paige Greco in the women's C3 time trial. In the athletics, bronze for Jared Clifford in the men's T12 1500 metres. Also gold for James Turner. He's added to our growing medal tally in the T36 400 metres setting, a new Paralympic record to seal the deal. There is plenty of swimmers in action tonight. They're racing for a whole heap of medals and looking forward to bringing you those results here on Sports Day. It is time now for Todd Johnston and the night shift. You can give him a buzz, 133-882. Maybe you can put in a vote for him to be singing at the AFL Grand Final. It was the suggestion earlier today on Oliver Peterson's program from our Premier, Mark McGowan, going back to his heyday. Todd Johnston on your radio next.